Thank you, Jerry, Joe, and you two and Tom have a nice trip to Houston. We will talk to you tomorrow night. And those of you listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca, get to have an extra Blue Jays pregame extra starting at 7 o'clock. I'm assuming that we're going to concentrate quite a bit on the trade deadline, the non-waiver trade deadline, which passes at 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. Will the Blue Jays do something? What are they looking for? Right now, it appears as though they're looking for a relief pitcher who can serve as kind of a help to Dustin McGowan and Aaron Sanchez, being that right-handed bridge guy to Casey Jansen, and who could close in the absence of Jansen. They've obviously been put in quite a bit of a bind with the failures of Sergio Santos and Steve Delabar to be what the Blue Jays hoped that they were going to be this year. But this is kind of nice. 8 out of 9, 10 out of 12. The Blue Jays, 2.5 games out of first place, 2.5 games up on the New York Yankees, who currently trail the Texas Rangers 3-2 in the top of the seventh inning in Texas. So an opportunity to pick up another half game right there. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Last night we were talking about, would the Blue Jays leave Boston with John Lester? It appears as though that's not going to happen. It looks as though, well, they're just going to go to Houston as is. Although Dan Johnson did look like he might have done a little hamstring something running down to first base in the ninth inning. So you wonder, is that going to be a problem? Dan Johnson may be the DL for Chad Jenkins, or if the Blue Jays do pick up the reliever, then that's probably the roster spot. We shall see. Start with Matt in Bakersfield, California, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Matt, you're the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Mike?
All right, thank you.
All right, well, I just want to say a couple things. I think at this point in the season, you really got to tip your cap to Anthopoulos because for his pickup of Navarro, because he stayed pretty healthy the whole season, and he's come up in some big spots for us. And looking back now, it's been a really good pickup for us. And I think it's interesting watching the Jays and Orioles go at it right now, because I don't know what's more impressive, the Jays staying this hot with all the injuries or the Orioles staying this hot with the teams they're playing against. And looking at it, it seems like it might be more likely the Jays will play in a one-game playoff against Anaheim. Now, I have a question for you with that. If we got to that point and we were in the one-game plan in Anaheim, would you start Stroman since he got rocked? I mean, I was there that day. He pitched, and I mean, the sun was pretty strong. It was pretty hot, but I don't know if that's a good enough excuse. Would you go with him again in that spot, or would you go with the veteran?
I think that it's complete speculation to first of all, if you get the second wild card, chances are you have no chance to set your rotation. I mean, the odds that whoever wins the second wild card is going to have a comfortable enough lead in the last 8 days of the season to be able to figure out who's going to start when and what you're going to do, that's the odds are minuscule. I really believe that if you're in that one-game playoff, the starting pitcher is whoever's day it is. And you can kind of, you know, if you get a little bit of a breather going into that last weekend of the season, then maybe you can figure out, well, let's back this guy off, and if we got to use him out of the bullpen in that game so he only throws 3-4 innings on Saturday, then maybe. But the Blue Jays wrap up the season, don't forget, with 14 straight games against Baltimore, the Yankees, and Seattle. And those are their closest pursuers right now for the AL East and for the second wild card. So I don't believe for a second that the Blue Jays are going to be able to choose who pitches for them in that one-game wild card. And I'm also not willing to say, you know, like, you know, you're saying that the odds are they're going to be the wild card team. Well, they've got...
Well, let's just hope we get there. That would be really nice.
But they've got a very good shot still at winning the division, especially with what's coming back.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, Mike. And I'm really excited about the series in Toronto against Baltimore next week. It's going to be really fun.
I hope so.
Have a good one.
All right. I appreciate it. And Baltimore is playing way better than I expected in this run. I mean, they go out on the West Coast, and they go 6-3, or pardon me, 7-3. 7-3 on a 10-game trip out West. I'm lying. 6-4. That is the correct number. 6-4 on the 10-game trip out West out of the All-Star break, which honestly I never expected them to do. I thought, I mean, this is the Baltimore Orioles. I thought they were going to go 3-7. They go 6-4, and they've taken the first two from the Angels. So out of the break, 8-4. Blue Jays are 10-3. So, yeah, I expected the Orioles to have a really, really tough time in this 16 straight games against the A's, Mariners, and Angels, and they've not. They've done wonderfully, wonderfully well. But the Blue Jays have managed to pick up a game and a half on them, even though they've done so well, which is really impressive. And it's too bad that they didn't stub their toes, but that doesn't mean they're not going to later. Remember, no team is as good as it looks when it's going well, and just like no team is as bad as it looks when it's not going well. Eddie is in Fort Erie. Eddie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on, Mike.
Thanks for calling.
I just want to say about Mark Burley tonight, you know what? He really bounced back in a big way, and I was in Florida when he got rocked by the Yankees, and I thought to myself, you know what, when is he going to bounce back? And I was hoping that he would in Boston because he pitched very well the last time in Boston, and I thought, okay, maybe let's hope he can do it again. You know what, he did tonight, and I think, you know, Burley's going to be coming back to the Burley that we know, and I'm looking forward to the Blue Jays going to Houston, and that's one of my favorite ballparks, by the way, Minute Maid Park, minus that hill in center field. I really hate that hill, you know?
I think it's a really interesting park. I kind of dig the hill. I don't know why it's there or anything. It's just a little silly. But I think that with the weird short porch and left and then that the train tracks and the way the wall goes up and you can't really tell whether something's a home run or not in left center, it's a weird park, and weird is cool for me. So, yeah, I would love to be on that trip, get to see Alan Ashby, but hopefully we'll hear from him at some point during the trip. But yeah, it's going to be fun watching the Blue Jays in Houston. And your point about Burley, look, Mark Burley had a terrible outing in New York, his last start, but the other seven starts that he was winless in since June 1st, he was Mark Burley. He had an ERA of like 4.04. And he was throwing 6-plus innings pretty much every time out. So it wasn't so much a regression to the mean as it was he just went back to being what he was without regressing. And people point to that, like 4.93 ERA. Well, that was all because of the New York game. And he bounced back beautifully today, and hopefully he can continue to be Mark Burley. Just pitch into the seventh with an ERA around 4. And that should be more than enough to do some very good work the rest of the way. Today he was much better than that, giving up a run on 6 hits over 6 2/3 as the Blue Jays swept away the Red Sox at Fenway for the second time this season, beating them 6-1 and securing a winning month of July. So that's over 500 in May and July, under 500 barely in April and June. And right now the Blue Jays are a playoff team. Comfortably right now. Russ in New Jersey listening on sportsnet.ca. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Russ.
Good evening, Mike. Mike, I asked the fan to please let you go on some of these road trips. It would be really nice to have you on some of these road trips, especially with the team, you know, really in the thick of things, for you to be there for the station and for the fans like me, you know, to be with the team in this race. It'll be really nice to have you.
Oh, shucks.
Okay, let me talk about, I think I saw you last week or when I can't remember, a week and a half ago. And, you know, I told you at the time, I thought Baltimore, you know, there's no way they're going to have a good road trip. And they were 6-4 on that trip, and they lost one game where they gave up like 3 or 4 runs in the bottom of the ninth, the first game against Oakland. and then they lost on a walk. They walked in a run in the eighth or ninth inning against the Angels. So they could have easily been 8-2. Number one, do you think there's – I don't think the Orioles make the trade. And they do have some of the pitchers that Boston may
They're not getting John Lester.
Do you think there's a chance they make the trade for Lester?
No. No. There was before today, but one of their young prospects had some elbow issues, and they're not going to trade. I don't think they'll trade Dylan Bundy, and they're certainly not going to trade Kevin Gausman. Bundy's not worth as much as he was because he's hurt too. So, no, I think that Lester is going to go to Pittsburgh or the Dodgers or Oakland. I don't think he's going to Baltimore.
I think you would agree with Oakland getting Lester. I'm saying, you know, at the top of the rotation, what the trade they made with the Cubs, they've really, you know, gone over the top to try to win this year. And I got to give them credit for that, but that would definitely, you know, not stating just the obvious, that would definitely have to make them the favorite, you know, to at least definitely come out of the American League if they got Lester and that pitching staff, you know, for the playoffs.
Oh, I think so. Lester, Samardzija, Sonny Gray at the top of your rotation. That's pretty swell.
Right. Yeah. I thought the first call, by the way, Mike, I know it's hypothetical, and I think you made a good point. They end off 3 games with the Orioles. So even though you may be, the Blue Jays could be, you know, in a comfortable position maybe in the last 3 games for the wild card, but they still might be hopefully, you know, winning the division, but at least battling the division where they'll throw, you know, they'll want to throw their best guys to try to win the division. But, you know, it's a good question, hypothetically. Who would you start if you had a choice for that one game?
Well, but you're not going to have a choice. I mean, you're really not. I mean, the odds that the Blue Jays will be 4 games up in the wild card chase and also 4 games back in the AL East are infinitesimal.
Right.
No, going into that last 3 games.
It's enjoyable, Mike, and I give you credit because you kept on staying on the bandwagon, and I was getting nervous after on that West Coast trip when they kept on losing and how they're going to come out of this and with all the injuries, but it's exciting, and you know everyone's looking for the Blue Jays to make the trade, but when those guys come back, that, you know, Encarnacion, Lurie, and Lynn, that's going to be a tremendous, tremendous boost for this team.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, Russ. Look, I'm as surprised as anybody after that 2-8 road trip going into the All-Star break that they're 10-3 coming out of the break. I certainly did not expect this. I hoped that they would be able to play around 500 ball until Lind and Encarnacion and Lurie all came back. And they've done a wonderful job. And, you know, they've moved, again, 2.5 out in front of the Yankees for that second wild card. And they've moved to within 2.5 of Baltimore. They were 4 games back. And the Orioles have been red hot. And the Blue Jays have picked up 1.5 on them. So it's especially wonderful. And on this 10-game road trip through Boston, New York, Houston, 6 games into it, they're 5-1. 5-1. And who thought they'd do better than 5-5? They may not yet, but I mean, I would have been thrilled with a 5-5 trip. And that's guaranteed now with 4 games left. John is in Pottageville. You're next on Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Good evening, Mr. Wilner.
Good evening.
Before the All-Star break, I was losing the faith. But hallelujah, things have changed since the All-Star break. And I guess you have to look at losing Kawasaki, Johnson at a few occasions. The bottom half of the batting order is coming through, and especially Anthony Ghost right now.
Yeah, a few times, absolutely.
Not just laying down the buns, but and then we got Rasmus here. He's hitting the ball hard. So there's another positive. Sooner or later, they're going to start dropping in. So I guess the big thing is now is one of these two teams between Baltimore and Toronto, who's going to fold first? Somebody's going to have to go into a bad streak. And Baltimore played well on the West Coast. Toronto didn't. But now they got Baltimore coming up. If they do well against Houston, do they actually take the lead against Baltimore when they play them?
It's possible. I have found, just like you said, when you were, I know this goes against pretty much every tenet of sports talk radio, and I apologize in advance, but just like you said, you were losing the faith, and things have changed. I have found that it is foolhardy to attempt to predict the future, which is not to say that, you know, which one's going to fold, which one's going to go on a bad stretch, which one's going to stay hot. Neither the Blue Jays nor the Baltimore Orioles are going to stay this hot over the rest of the season. They're both going to have dips. The fans are going to be have to be talked off the ledge again, and things are going to come back, and everything's going to be all right. We saw it in the first third of the season. We saw it in the second third of the season, and now they're one game into the third third of the season. I expect the roller coaster ride to continue.
Do you think whoever wins the division, do you think the second place team gets a wild card spot? Because I don't think so.
I have no idea, but I will say this, that both the second and third place teams in the American League East are the top two contenders for that second wild card. So I don't know why you wouldn't think that they have just as good a chance as anybody else. Who knows? Again, who knows? 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Yankees currently trailing the Texas Rangers 3-2 with one out in the top of the eighth, and Neil Kotz on the mound for Texas. And Neil Kotz is the guy that the Blue Jays could very well be looking at as far as a trade deadline ad to help out the bullpen. We're going to let the network go at the bottom of the hour, but we will continue. Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, all the way to 11 o'clock Eastern. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're not on hold, get on hold. I just gave you the numbers. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 6-1 for the sweep. 5-1 so far on this road trip. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Blue Jays sweep away the Boston Red Sox. 6-1 is your final score. Mark Burley goes 6 2/3 innings, gives up a run on 6 hits. They are on their feet in Arlington, Texas right now with the Rangers leading the Yankees 3-2, one out, nobody on in the top of the eighth, and it's because Derek Jeter is at the bat for what is likely, barring extra innings, his final at-bat ever in Texas. And he just popped out, so he'll get a huge ovation. Popped out to J.P. Arencibia at first base. Yankees trailing by one in the top of the eighth. Orioles already won tonight. They beat the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim 4-3. Tampa Bay lost 5-0 to the Milwaukee Brewers. So the American League East appears as the following. Blue Jays are 2.5 games out, 2.5 games ahead of the Yankees. The Rays are 8 games back of first place Baltimore, and Boston now 13 out and in full sell mode. Jays will leave Fenway Park. They've gotten 2 sweeps there this year. They're going to Houston to open up a 4-game set tomorrow night. We're on at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for an 8:10 first pitch. Blue Jays pregame extra at 7 on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Drew Hutchison and Jared Kozart. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Brett Armstrong, and Matt Killer Brown, bye-bye.
Don't miss a pitch. Blue Jays baseball.
Hi, this is Brett Laurie, and you're listening to Blue Jays baseball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Milky goes 3-2 pitch, line into center field, a base hit. Reyes scores. Milky on his way to third. The ball retrieved from Jackie Bradley, the center fielder, back to the infield, and the Blue Jays go out in front 4-0 as Navarro has a pair of RBI singles.
And he would get a third in the sixth inning to help the Blue Jays to a 6-1 win over the Boston Red Sox. A sweep at Fenway again, second time this season that's happened. And the Blue Jays have won 8 of 9, 10 of 12, 2.5 games out of first place in the American League East, and 2.5 games ahead of the New York Yankees for the second wild card. The Yankees trailing the Texas Rangers 3-2. As they move to the bottom of the eighth inning in Arlington. I'm Mike Wilner. It is Blue Jays Talk all the way to 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Matt, who was complaining about not getting on Blue Jays Talk on Twitter right now, is in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and you're on Blue Jays Talk right now, Matt. I bet you hung up. Wow. See, this is the thing, and this is why I say, if you're on hold, stay on hold. Because I don't want you to hang up when we're going to come back and continue. I feel like sometimes I say it too often that we're going to come back. We will continue to Blue Jays Talk it up right up to the top of the hour, but I guess I don't say it often enough. Jim in Milton, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good. Listen, I like what you do.
Oh, thank you.
I like the way you do it.
I appreciate that.
I'll disagree with you a whole lot.
No problem.
And we can live with that. But I don't think the Jays need to give up anything to get anybody right now. Their pitching is good. Their hitting is good. And I like what Gibson is doing with moving the guys around.
Gibbons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing a real good job. And we don't need to give up the future for what, you know?
A playoff
spot. This is a good team right now, isn't it?
Well, but how did you feel 2 weeks ago?
Same thing.
Really? When they had lost like 24 to 35?
I've been a baseball fan before you were born.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, I used to listen to the Yankees on shortwave radio in the 40s.
Very cool.
And these things happen, and they always will. You keep saying it too, you know, it's up and down, it's cyclical. But this is a good club, and I love the way it's going. And we shouldn't do anything right now. Live with what we have. When we get these guys back, we're okay. We got great pitching, haven't we?
Well, they've got good pitching, certainly. The starting pitching has been very, very good.
Yeah.
Much better than anticipated. I don't know that you can count on Hutchinson and Happ and Stroman continuing to do what they've been doing.
Oh, no. That isn't necessary to do that because there's so much in each game, so many people you can depend on. And, you know, our infield right now is pretty good. Don't you think so?
Well, but it still has Juan Francisco, Ryan Goins, and Munir.
Oh, of course. We got a lot of lead footers. But I don't think any other club is any better than what ours is.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to disagree with you in the American League East, and I appreciate the call. I do think they're as good as anybody, and they're only going to get better when Lynn, Lurie, and Encarnacion come back. But that doesn't mean they couldn't use a little reinforcement. And I think that adding a bullpen arm would be a good idea. You want to add a top of the rotation starting pitcher, but I totally get not wanting to trade Aaron Sanchez or Marcus Stroman. David Price makes that interesting because you get another year of him and you get a first-round pick. So, Sanchez, yeah. Stroman, it's a lateral move with the way he's pitching right now. But I do think the Blue Jays could certainly stand to get better in a couple of areas. I don't know if they're going to make a trade before the deadline, which is 4 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. If I had to guess, I'd say they're probably not. But that doesn't mean they can't make a trade in August. And again, there are places at which they could stand to improve. Randy is out in Moncton. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Maritimer.
Hey, how you doing? And 10-3 without the reinforcement.
Yep.
That's from 2-8 to 10-3. I guess you don't have to go to Canada's Wonderland to find a roller coaster. I don't think anybody expected this. The only encouraging thing about that 24-35 thing is it was mostly just they didn't hit, and their starting pitching held up very well. That
Absolutely.
Was the only thing about it that was sort of encouraging. They have 45 wins out of their starters this year, which they didn't have much of last year. You were mentioning Mark Burley and keeping his team in games, and I'll ask you one more question and go. I think that's basically the role of the starter now, though, isn't it, is to keep your team in a game, because you have five-man rotations, you have bridge guys, you have closers. Mark still has 11 wins, but your win total just doesn't matter as much as it used to because you just don't pitch as much. You pitch a third less.
Right, it doesn't mean as much. And it's not like 40 years ago everyone was throwing a complete game every time out. But
yep.
But what's changed is that a pitcher's mindset used to be, I'm going to go and win this game. I'm going to pitch nine innings and you know, that's my job. My job is to go out there and pitch nine innings and win. Where now a pitcher's job is, I'm going to go out there and throw six good innings. I know Mark Burley doesn't think that way, and I know R.A. Dickey doesn't think that way, but Stroman definitely doesn't. But I mean, for a lot of guys, look, I gave my team a chance to win. That's enough. And that's the change of the mindset, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'll take seven strong innings from a starting pitcher with bullpens built the way they are anytime, and I'll often take six. Just get me into the seventh because bullpens are so good. But, I you know, that's what baseball is now.
Oh, yeah, it's changed a lot. You're the same age. You watch games in the even as recently as the early 80s, guys pitched a ton of complete games. The Melky Cabrera play, he almost got hurt. He almost blew out an ankle or a knee at the plate. What do you make of that catcher's runner's interference thing? What do you think should be done with the runner?
No,
Mike Matheny put it in to protect the concussions. What's your feeling on the rule?
I have no idea. I don't know what the rule is. No one can explain the rule properly. It's, you know, you can't block the plate. Do you have to slide? What if there's no room? What do you do? It seemed to me as though Melky Cabrera had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Because the throw took Christian Vasquez into the line. So, you know, the only thing he can do is blow the catcher up, which you're not allowed to do anymore. And I don't even know if Vasquez tagged him, to be honest with you. I don't think that Major League Baseball even really knows what that rule is. We've seen opposite calls on review made on what appears to be the same play a couple of different times. So, you know, if you're asking me what I think they should do, I mean, I've never agreed with the whole block in the plate thing anyway. You can't do it at any other base. So I don't know why a catcher was allowed to do that before. I know that obviously, you know, you can overrun the plate, which is why once you touch the plate, it's over. So that's why you can charge in and try to blow the guy up without risking being out like you would at second or third, for example. But realistically, I don't know. I mean, if the ball's there and the guy tags you, you're out. And that's just, I mean, that's the way it ought to be. If you can beat him there, then you beat him there, just like at any other base.
I don't know. It's looked really confusing at times. So.
It's been incredibly confusing. And that's really the problem with trying to fix a problem to which there is really no easy fix.
Guess so. Anyway, keep it going, Toronto, I guess. We'll keep this roller coaster going up for a while.
That'd be swell. Thank you for the call, Randy. Appreciate it. Maddie is in Newmarket, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard, Maddie.
Hey, Mike, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you for finally showing up.
Yeah, not a problem. Big win by Burley and the guys tonight. Just wondering about tomorrow's deadline. Who do you think they can pick up?
Well, like I said before, I don't really know that they'll do anything. I wonder whether Tampa Bay makes its guys available. I mean, we know that David Price and Ben Zobrist could really, really help.
Yeah, they would for sure.
But Tampa's not out of it, right? I mean, they lost
today.
But they're 5.5 games out of a playoff spot. And they've got, I think they got the best record in the major leagues over the last, 7 weeks? So I don't know that they feel like they're out of it. And, trading Price means they don't have him next year either when he's under contract, although they might deal him in the offseason anyway because of the arbitration award that he's going to get.
I don't think I'd rather not give up on the kids yet either. Like, the kids have been doing so good for us.
Well, I don't think Stroman's going anywhere.
No, I don't want them. I wouldn't give away Stroman for Price, I don't think, right now.
Yeah, it seems to be sort of, and that sounds counterintuitive, but I kind of agree with you. It seems to be like that's a lateral move right now.
He's got so much upside.
Well, yeah, but David Price. I mean, David Price has achieved that upside.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, Sanchez, I would trade for Price. I don't know if I would give 100%. Up as much with Sanchez as I was willing to 2 weeks ago, though.
Yeah.
But, okay, thanks, Mike. Oh, go ahead.
I was saying thanks for taking my call and enjoy listening to you.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. I think that whoever the Blue Jays get is going to underwhelm a lot of people if they make a trade before the break. Before the deadline tomorrow, much like Danny Valencia is an underwhelming addition, but a guy who destroys lefties. And that's exactly what the Blue Jays need. I think that if they make a trade by 4 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow, you know, it's going to be a Neil Kotz or a Mark Zepchinski or something like that, that is not going to make anybody gasp. But it'll be something that'll be helpful, and the Blue Jays will get to keep Stroman and Sanchez and Norris and Asuna and Lugo and guys like that while helping the team. And again, they're getting back Encarnacion, Lindon, Lurie, and there's not a single team in Major League Baseball that's going to be able to add that kind of firepower at the trade deadline. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 6-1. They get the sweep. That's pretty swell. They've won 8 of 9. Craig is in the GUE. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Hey, Mike. Good to be back. Long-time listener. Been a while since I called in.
All right. Well, welcome
big
back.
Big fan of what you do.
Thank you.
So back to this whole Lester for Sanchez thing. What I've heard is it's looking like Sanchez plus. My gut reaction was similar to the guy who called earlier, which, you know, no way, why would we do that? But the more I thought about it, the more I'm looking at, well, how many opportunities are you going to get, really, where the Yankees are not looking strong, Red Sox are dead last, where you've really got a chance to not only get to the playoffs, but make some noise. And I'm kind of coming on board with this. What are your thoughts of, even if it was straight up, Sanchez for Lester, would you do it?
I don't think so.
Really?
And I hear everything that you're saying. You're right. The Yankees aren't powerful. The Red Sox are last. The Orioles really aren't that good. The division is there for the taking. But it's a 2-month rental of John Lester, maybe three.
Right.
Hopefully three. Right. You don't get a draft pick back when he leaves.
Right.
And you're giving up 6 years of Aaron Sanchez, who's 22 years old and looks like he's going to be phenomenal. I would trade Sanchez for Price because you're getting Price for next year too, and you're getting the draft pick when he leaves if you don't bring him back. Lester, you know he's not coming back. He's all but said he'll go back to Boston in the offseason. You don't get the compensation for him. And, it just, I mean, that's a really, really high price for a rental. And I say that knowing that the Blue Jays did exactly that in 1992 with Jeff Kent for David Cohn.
Right.
And, you know, the odds that Aaron Sanchez is ever going to be as good as Jeff Kent are minimal. But I just, it feels like that's way too much to give up for a rental player. And John Lester, as good as he is, and he'd be the number one pitcher on the team. Let's not forget that John Lester last year from the end of May on had the exact same numbers as R.A. Dickey had last year.
Yeah.
So this isn't, you know, it's not Justin Verlander at his peak. It's not Yu Darvish. It's not David Price. He's a tier below them, not a huge tier.
Right. But
that's just why Sanchez feels like too much to me.
I'll agree with you on your evaluation of of Lester. I'm not so sold on Sanchez myself. I know he's looked really good out of the pen. I know he's only 19.
22.
22?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, even worse then.
I don't know. It's pretty impressive to be doing what he's doing at 22.
Sure, I thought he was 19, though. But anyway. another player I'm looking at, whose numbers I'm looking at, are pretty similar to Lester's right now, is Corey Kluber.
Yeah, he's serious, huh?
Hey.
He's not available.
9.76 K per nine.
He's not available.
9.9 walk per nine.
Still not available.
Better than Lester.
Also not available. There are a lot of people who are better than Lester who are not available.
He's not available. That's what I was going to ask you.
No.
No rumors around him, eh?
No, not available.
Ah.
Why would you trade Corey Kluber if you're the Cleveland Indians?
I have no idea.
Exactly. So.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Craig.
That's why I asked. Thank you.
All right. Don't take too long to call again. 416-870-0590, star 590. 1-888-660-590. Joe is in Fredericton. They love us in the Maritimes. Joe, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, we sure do. And you just used a term that was invented by some Maritime boys that play in a band out here from Halifax.
What was that?
Underwhelmed.
That was not invented. That's an English word.
No, underwhelmed. Wasn't that a Sloan song? That I thought they had credit for that.
Isn't there a Sloan song called Overwhelmed?
Overwhelmed. Underwhelmed.
I don't know. We're not sure yet. The crack staff is on it. Regardless, yeah. They didn't invent it. But anyway.
Yeah, regardless, Casey Jansen made some comments over the last couple of days about how he feels about the season and what he believes the Jays should do, particularly what the front office should do, and you know, from that what their owners should allow. But I guess the question is, you said it might be an underwhelming move. My question is, do you think this would be an underwhelming move for the Jays clubhouse based on how Casey Jansen might feel about this season?
I think what's important is that they're winning and they're getting a lot of very impressive players back. And I think that the players would all love David Price. They would all love John Lester. They would all love Ben Zobrist, Chase Utley, all these guys. But of course they would. And it's the general manager's job to make sure that he's taking care of both the present and the future. And ownership is a whole other story. It hasn't been confirmed yet whether it's true that the Blue Jays aren't allowed to add any payroll. I have my suspicions that it is. That has nothing to do with Alex Anthopoulos. And that's, if it's true, it really, really is a shame because obviously, we all know about the deep pockets of ownership, and we know that the Blue Jays are in a playoff spot and the promises that have been made in the past. And if they're pulling back and tying Alex's hands right now, then that's really, really unfair. But as far as all the other stuff is concerned, you know, if a team wants too much for what the Blue Jays are looking for, then the Blue Jays aren't going to do it.
I wouldn't give up what the Red Sox want for Lester right now.
Well, we don't know what the Red Sox want for Lester.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess we don't know. I've heard some rumors. But
right, but that's
it was
all.
Like a starting pitcher and some prospects.
It's just, those are just rumors.
Those are rumors, you're right. Yeah. I guess I wouldn't give up what has been rumored
right.
that they want.
And I wouldn't give up what's been rumored that they want for Andrew Miller either. Or, you know, now that the Blue Jays have Valencia and Reimold to go with Steve Tolleson, I'm not interested in Josh Willingham really that much. I think that you know, they could use another big arm out of the bullpen. If they're not going to get a top of the rotation starting pitcher, then it's not really worth going after a middle of the rotation starting pitcher. And once those three hurt guys come back, the offense is again really without a hole.
Yeah, no, the offense will be fine.
Yeah.
So I guess in the grand scheme of things, in the battle of corporations, Nintendo has Robinson Cano and Mario Kart, and Rogers has a team that's vying for a pennant, but just let go of Drew Fair service, so that's disappointing.
Well, Rodgers didn't let go of Drew Fairservice, and so you know, don't lay the blame there. Rodgers does not own the
I thought they own the store.
No, they own the TV side, not the website.
Okay, perfect. Okay, yeah. Thanks for clearing that up.
No, but now, thanks for bringing that up.
Less actually. Resentful. Okay, thanks.
All right, I appreciate it. The Score did a house cleaning yesterday, score.ca, and they dropped some really, really, really good writers, Drew Fairservice and Dustin Parks among them, and that's really too bad. We're all hoping that they land on their feet. It's not easy to get good, young baseball writers who really know their stuff. And the score.ca was doing a heck of a job. They are no longer. Blue Jays are, though. They beat the Red Sox. How's that for a segue? 6-1. Johnny is in Woodbridge. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How's it going, Mike? How you doing today? Go Jays, go.
All right, go ahead, Johnny.
I just wanted to say on, I think Sanchez, I think if people want him and you're going to get a big pitcher back, you have to deal with him. Had really 4 or 5 innings in the major leagues.
Yeah, it depends who that big pitcher is, though.
Well, if it's David Price and it's John Lester and it's part of a package, I think you have to make it. Stroman, you don't touch because he's not a prospect no more. He's a major league pitcher. He can pitch. He's proven. Not to say that Sanchez is not, but I remember back in the day when we were the ones selling, and we had Roy Halladay, and we got a guy named Drabeck, supposed to be the next best thing, and turned out to a dud. So, I mean, you have to do something now. Prospects are meant to be trade, and I heard something today about the San Francisco Giants that's all they've been doing the last 4 years, and they've won 2 World Series in the last 4 years, and I think we have to go out there and make a splash, whether it's John Lester, whether it's David Price. Like Masterson would have been a nice pickup today. He got picked up by the Cards, but I mean,
never have traded Aaron Sanchez for Justin Masterson.
No, of course not, but I mean like the minor league player that they wanted, if you wanted to keep Sanchez and still want to go get a front line pitcher at the top of your rotation, I think it would have been an okay deal. But I mean, I think you have to go make a splash, because if you don't, Baltimore will, or the New York Yankees will. And the thing is, you have to. And when you go back, you mentioned a great point about Jeff Kent being traded for David Cone. We won a World Series that year. I was 12 years old when we won that World Series. And I mean, it's been almost 20 years since we've been a buying team. And I think we have to go out and make a splash. And Anthopoulos is the guy to do it. He has to make a splash. And if you have to maybe overpay without getting rid of Sanchez and another big prospect, you have to do it. When Encarnacion comes back and Lynn comes back, you hit it right on the head. There's not one team that's going to have that kind of impact at the trade deadline. These guys are right around the corner. So, I mean, I think we got something special this year, and we have to go for it this year. Thanks, Mike, for your time, and I'll listen to what you have to say, bud.
All right. The only thing I'll say is that you can't overpay without giving up Aaron Sanchez. I wonder how much money motivated the Blue Jays not picking up Justin Masterson. He would have been a nice little fit. He has killed them, so it would have been great to have him on their side. But, yeah, like I said, I'm all in on David Price. I just don't know that the Tampa Bay Rays are going to move him. I kind of like Jared Cozart, but I'm sure the Astros will be asking for too much. We'll see about that. And Dallas Keuchel seems to be really, really good right now. Yankees just lost on a fantastic grab by J.P. Arencibia at first base. Leaping grab of a line drive to end the game. Rangers beat the Yankees 3-2, so the Blue Jays are now 3 games up on the New York Yankees for that second wild card in the American League. The Blue Jays win it 6-1 over the Red Sox. Another Fenway sweep. And one more call before we go. Paul is in Beaverton. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk. Paul, go right ahead.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You only have a minute. Caller.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to ask you, the trade deadline is on July 31st, but then you see other, after that, players getting traded after that, and you see it in hockey and in basketball and everything like that, and I was just wondering how that happens.
Yeah, sorry, I was just looking. I misidentified. It was not J.P. Arencibia who made that catch to end the game for the Texas Rangers. It was Adam Rosales at first base. Wow, good for him. Here's the deal on the trade deadline. Tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time, is the non-waiver trade deadline, which means it's the last point in time at which players can be traded without having to go through waivers. After tomorrow at 4 o'clock, any player who is traded for the rest of the season will have to pass through recallable waivers. And I know it's very confusing for a lot of fans and even for a lot of media who should really know better, but you're going to see a ton of stories in the month of August saying, this guy's on waivers, this guy's on waivers, this guy's on waivers, like it's a really big deal and like it's news. It's not. I'll tell you this right now. Every player in the major leagues is going to go on waivers in the month of August. They're recallable waivers, so if a team claims him, the team can just call him right back, or they can let him go, or they can try to make a trade for him before calling him back on waivers. That's the way it goes. So trades can be made in August. If you want to have a guy on your playoff roster, you have to have him by August 31st. And I'm going to go over this a million times, I'm sure, because people will be calling me to say, I can't believe this guy's on waivers. Everybody's going to be on. Blue Jays in Houston tomorrow. I'm on Baseball Central at noon tomorrow. Check that out. Blue Jays pregame extra at 7. And a fun night of baseball. See you then.